Hi, I'm Felicia Jackson, editor of Sustainable Growth Voice. I'm here today with Derek and Jamie of the Claris Network Group. Now, the reason I'm really interested in talking to them is what they do is provide internet services to remote areas, which makes a lot of sense for energy, offshore energy, and lots of different things as well. But so the first thing I want to do, Derek, is can you explain what you actually do?
Yeah, so as a business, we provide business critical communications to some of the world's most challenging environments. So we provide services such as low Earth orbit satellite communications and private 5G networks, with the energy sector being one of our largest target markets.
So what I love about this is people can talk about a private 5G network. What does that actually mean? And I've got a follow-up question to that about the low Earth orbit satellites. But so what does it actually mean with the 5G network?
So essentially that's what it is. It's your own private 5G network. So it's your own private commercial grade business wireless network, which can be used in any environment, essentially. So particularly in a remote location, it's a wide scale business network for your business only. Others can't see that network, only your business can see it. So it's there's a lot of safety benefits, a lot of safety features of having your own private network. And for the energy sector, if we think of an offshore platform, for example, a private network can span many, many miles. So traditional Wi-Fi services, they'll only cover a few hundred meters. With a private network, we can cover huge distances. So if you think about the platform itself and the workers staying connected on that, but also the service supply vessels, the people coming to the platform to work, and all the benefits that can bring both operationally and from a health and safety perspective, that's what a private network does.
Okay, that is a really good explanation for why people would actually need to use that. The thing I'm particularly interested also though is that the use of these low Earth orbit satellites, because as I understand it, the fact that they're LEO means that your uplink is much, much faster. And that means the ability to sort of share data in a much more rapid and sort of high quality way.
You're absolutely correct. So in traditional geostationary satellites sit about 36,000 kilometers from the surface of the Earth. And that's great, you can get high speed downloads, but the problem you have is with latency. And what latency is essentially is the time it takes for data to transfer from one point on a network to another. So if you think about it, for that remote site, it goes from the antenna to the satellite 36,000 kilometers away, down to a ground station, and then through the network where it needs to go, and then back again. So that round trip latency is about 600 milliseconds. Now that sounds really fast, but it has problems for real-time applications, IoT, telemetry, SCADA devices, all these devices that are used in environments like an offshore energy site, for example. So with low Earth orbit satellites, they sit about 550 kilometres to 1,200 kilometres to the Earth, so a lot closer. So that latency figure I'm talking about, that's a lot lower. That can be as low as 20 milliseconds. So things like real-time collaboration, real-time video, real-time monitoring, remote control of machinery, they all work seamlessly in these environments, so it's really, really important. Furthermore, with low Earth orbit satellites, they orbit the Earth, so they cover the entire Earth as well. So it means you can always see them, you can always get connected wherever you are. So really, really good for remote and challenging environments.
Now, so one of the things that raises for me is I completely get, so there's lots of technologies around that people are talking about today, using data to understand the health of turbines or what's going on, and obviously you need massive amounts of data uplinking to that. But there's also other things that you can do with this. So one of the things that I understand the company did was actually provide satellite links for internet to Ukraine. So I'm just trying to understand, what are the sorts of ways in which your technology can be used for other aspects of sustainability? So not just sort of privacy and communications and management, but, you know, other areas where people can do good.
Sure. So we're working on a project at the moment with SpaceX and with our partner, and it's called the British Remote Schools Project. And what this has been set up to do is to provide education to children who are in disaster relief zones. So that may be a war zone or something that's been affected by, you know, adverse weather or another natural disaster. And when that happens, using Starlink, what we're able to do is create a pop-up school in these regions and provide that internet connectivity, so rapidly deployable internet connectivity to get those kids back into education as well. So we're working with a number of government agencies on this project at the moment. It's one of the biggest, most exciting things we're doing at the moment, and Starlink absolutely underpins that, because we need that internet connectivity to reach those children and provide that education.
That is absolutely incredible, because I think one of the things that we're becoming increasingly aware of with, you know, the increased instances of extreme weather, actually the interruption of education is often the worst thing that can happen, not just to the children and the families, but to the economy and recovery. So, you know, what would you say to an energy company that wants to try your services?
I'd say try it, first of all. You know, I think some people are a little bit sceptical about it because the technology is new and they haven't used it before, and they like to use traditional VSAT technology or microwave links or subsea fibre links, because these technologies have been around for a very long time. Because they've been around for a long time doesn't mean they're necessarily the best thing. So what I would say is try it, see what difference it makes to your business. You know, one of the important other use cases for it as well is the welfare of workers in some of these environments. They're very, very limited by the limited bandwidth that they have access to, but Starlink and OneWeb, the other LEO network that we supply as well, they make real-time high-definition video calls back to your loved ones at home a reality for the first time ever in history, you know. So I would say try it for that. You know, we find a lot of our clients are using it for welfare purposes initially, not just for operational and business critical needs.
This is really interesting to me because there's a lot of conversation about ESG and about how companies need to look at their impact, their workers, health and safety, the environment. I'm thinking about the fact that if you don't have to use subsea cables, you don't have to dig up the bottom of the sea. So that's got to be a benefit as well.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, the environmental impact alone on that, you know, is huge. And obviously, you know, the operational costs and running costs of the vessels that then have to lay those subsea cables as well. You know, there's a huge number of benefits for companies using these, you know, these all pretty much plug and play devices that we can send out to any remote site to provide this connectivity. So it's not just about the performance of the unit. It's probably the infrastructure and the time and the cost and everything else that's impacted by, you know,
so
using those traditional comms.
Lifetime impact.
Exactly, yes.
It's actually, sorry to interrupt, it's actually a great point about subsea cabling, because just a couple of months ago in Shetland, you may have heard the story about the islands being completely cut off from all communication. And that was due to damage of the subsea cables. And there was no backup connection. You know, if Starlink or another LEO network was used as a backup connection there, then that island would have actually been able to communicate. So that affected healthcare, affected the communities, it affected absolutely everything for about 2 days, I think.
This fascinates me because one of the themes that seems to be running through a lot of the conversations we have is about how every sector, every innovation affects other sectors around it, other aspects of life and health and access. So it's, yeah, no, that's incredible. It's about resilience, actually.
Yeah.
It's about looking at things in a different way. That's real. Thank you for telling me about that one. That's a really exciting one. Now, is there anything I haven't asked you about that I should have done? I know it's a horrendous question. It's really, really mean, but I always like to do that because, you know, I'm only human. I'm not going to think of everything.
I think probably the key thing about this is that it's the global coverage. That's something that's never been possible until now. You know, it literally has not been possible until now. We can provide this connectivity anywhere in the world, whether it's in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. And we actually do have a couple of interesting projects out in those areas that we can't really speak about, but they'll come to the public soon enough.
It's incredibly
powerful. Yeah, oh, incredibly powerful. It's game-changing. And someone I was speaking to earlier on was talking about how they're sending out, you know, a much smaller crew on their vessels now, which massively improves their health and safety because of this LEO connection, because it can transmit this real-time data back to a bigger team who sit on shore, and they don't need that bigger team out at sea anymore.
Yeah. As it's a really, really good point when you think of, you know, these energy sites that can communicate with their head office seamlessly on the other side of the world. They don't have the impact of sending staff to these locations that they normally would, you know, so there's a massive impact for that as well. But yeah, you know, the Starlink service, it's not just applicable to the energy sector. We are working with, you know, healthcare. We're using it as backup systems for hospitals. We're supplying it to blue light services on police, fire, ambulances. You know, we're putting it on welfare vehicles in the construction sector. We work with some of the biggest construction clients in the UK and beyond, you know. So out with the energy sector, the applications are huge. And obviously, you know, we've got things like the education project I'm talking about as well. So I think this is just the start of the journey, I think, with Starlink and with OneWeb. And other LEO networks are coming as well. And it's really, really interesting for the future and the possibilities that's going to come with it.
I have to say, it's been very exciting hearing about it, and I'm really grateful you were able to spare the time to join us this afternoon. Thanks a lot, guys.